Life is a gift from God, and what you do with it is your gift to Him. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us about living life on purpose.
No one who's going forward for the Lord goes forward without some buffeting or some trials in their life. But I want you to remember this morning that all of the fiery trials our Father filtered. In other words, Satan cannot bring something to pass unless the Lord deems that it is something that you can handle with His grace and something that is according to His will.
Few people have a plan for their lives. Most are spectators, watching their lives unfold one day at a time. As a result, many end up discouraged and disillusioned. But it doesn't have to be this way. You can live your life on purpose, and it begins with letting Jesus take control. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Our series, Living Life on Purpose, will help you discover God's plan for your future and allow you to intentionally live the life He has created you to live. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part one of a message called Learning from Trials.
Well, a lot of times when a pastor says we're going to learn about stewardship, we think in terms of money or time or the blessings of life. And certainly there's an application to each of those categories. A lot of times we think about, how can I take care of the stuff that God has given to me? But this morning, I want you to take a few moments with me to think about something in the realm of stewardship that isn't the most pleasant subject, and that is, how can I steward the trials that come into my life and the difficulties that are a part of the fiber of my life? Now, we know, according to Romans 8:28, that all things work together for good to those that are the called and those that are called according to His purpose. We know that God is always working through the various circumstances of life for a purpose. But if we're honest, we don't always and we don't immediately understand His purposes when the trials come into our life and when the difficulties come into our life. And it seems as though when we study the Scriptures that the same God that allows blessings also allows some trials and some difficulties to come our way. And it seems like you look at some people's life and you'll say, well, that guy's really blessed. He got a promotion, he got a new car, he got a new job. And boy, look over here, this guy's pretty faithful to church too. And his marriage didn't do so well. And they've really been struggling financially. And it's interesting sometimes just to see that God at different seasons gives all of us blessings and then He gives us burdens too. Sometimes we're just rejoicing with what God gives and sometimes it's not as easy as we thought. Now, if there was ever anybody in human history that understood that good and bad come into the equation of one single life, it was a man by the name of Job. Maybe you've read the book of Job before, but just look at some of the scriptures in your notes. In Job 2 and verse 10, it says, "But he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips." Now, if you remember Job's wife, she was anything but a blessing. I mean, one time she looks at Job and she goes, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" What a wonderful wife, you know. And Job says to her, what? "I'm supposed to love God when He's good and hate God when He's bad? Or I'm supposed to love God when He's good and hate God when He doesn't do the good things for me?" And so he had a right perspective. Look at verse 26 of Job 30. "When I looked for good, then evil came. And when I waited for light, then there came darkness." Job 1:21. And he said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return hither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." But here's the key phrase this morning, Job 1:22. "In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly." Now, how are you going to steward whatever it is that's going on in your life today? Linus one time was talking to Charlie Brown. They were chatting along, and Linus said, "You know, I don't like to face problems head on. I think the best way to solve problems is to avoid them. In fact, this is a distinct philosophy of mine. No problem is so big or so complicated that it can't be run away from." And that's what a lot of people do. When they're faced with sickness, when they're faced with unemployment, the first thing they want to do is move to Idaho, maybe quit church, maybe get bitter, maybe decide it was some other person's fault. And the fact of the matter is that many people are good at running away from their problems. But we're going to learn that that's not God's will, that God has a way for us to confront and to face these problems. And to steward our trials successfully and to steward them biblically, we're going to have to yield to God. We're going to have to accept where we are and then say, Lord, lead me through this time. And that's what the Apostle Paul is going to teach us this morning. A man who faced tremendous infirmities, and yet God brought him through, and God can bring you through too. Notice there's three areas of growth that will occur in your life if you allow God to lead you through the trials. The first area that I want you to focus on with me this morning is the area of humility, the area of humility. You know, a lot of people, without realizing it, we can have pride creep up into our hearts. Why, who is he to tell me how to do that? And why, what in the world? My wife is always saying this to me, or my husband's always saying this to me. Who does he think he is? And did you know that all of us can get to the place in our lives where there's more pride than we really want to admit? Now, Paul the Apostle shed some light on that, and I want you to notice it in chapter 12 and verse 7 as we begin the message today. He says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buff me, lest I should be exalted above measure." Now, if you were listening a minute ago in verses 1 through 6, Paul was talking about how he went up into the third heaven, into paradise, and how he received revelation from God, and how he had heard from God, and of course was given an opportunity that no other man in this same way had been given. The Bible is very clear that Paul had been given divine revelations no other man saw or heard. He was God's chosen instrument to reveal the grace of God through the New Testament writings. The third heaven, paradise, was a place that he had visited. And Paul himself said nothing about this experience other than to say that Christ was doing a great work in his life. Now, let me tell you, my friends, had you and I had this experience, I'll tell you what the average guy today would have done. He would have talked about it on his blog. He would have written a book about it. He would have had TV interviews about it. He would have had seminars telling you how to get to the third heaven and what to do when you get up there, you know? And so lest he got too caught up in himself, lest he got caught up with pride, notice what it says in verse 7, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh." In other words, folks, I don't think it's stretching the context to say that God purposed one of the works that he was going to do in Paul's life was a work of humility. And lest he got to thinking more highly of himself, God was going to allow a trial to come into his life. Now, how does God accomplish this work of humility? How does God bring this about in one's life? Let me give you a few things that we need to focus on this morning. First of all, focus on the presence of the trial. We see the presence of the trial. It is referred to in verse 7. It is called a thorn in the flesh. In verse 5, it is referred to again as an infirmity or a weakness. Now, there are two schools of thoughts that Bible scholars have about what is the thorn in the flesh. The first school of thought is that the thorn in the flesh might have been the Jews that followed him everywhere. They followed him, the Bible says, to Lystra on his first missionary journey and literally took stones and threw the stones at him until his life was nearly taken away. And how many of you would agree? That's a thorn in the flesh. Having people follow you everywhere you preach and throw rocks at you would be a thorn in the flesh. But most Bible scholars believe his thorn in the flesh was a disease that affected his eyes, some type of a physical ailment or a sickness like we mentioned earlier. In Galatians chapter 4, it is referenced this way, "Ye know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first, and my temptation was in my flesh, and ye despised it not." Verse 15, "That if it had been possible," I bear you record, "that if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me."
You're listening to Daily in the Word with Pastor Paul Chappell and our series called Living Life on Purpose. The second half of today's message is coming up next.
Do you ever have trouble balancing all the competing demands for your life, from family to friends to church to career to finances? Balancing life is a challenge, and that's why I've written the book Stewarding Life. This book will challenge and equip you to strategically invest your most valuable resources for God's eternal purposes. You see, life is God's gift to you, but what you do with it is your gift to God. The book Stewarding Life can be yours today as you make a donation to the Daily in the Word broadcast. Simply go to paulchapel.com and order yours today.
Now let's get back to more great teaching with Pastor Paul Chapel.
So Paul says to the Galatians, I had a problem with my eyes. You love me so much. You would have even given me your eyes if you could have. His infirmity was real. His infirmity was a physical infirmity that he held and he had present in his body. But notice not only the presence of his infirmity, notice secondly, the purpose of his trial or his infirmity. Why did God allow this to happen? Why are you sitting in a situation that's perhaps difficult right now today? Well, go back to verse 7 and notice what it says. And lest I should be exalted above measure. Let's say that together. Lest I should be exalted above measure. The word here, exalted above measure, these words mean to lift up or raise up. Paul would be exalted in the eyes of others, in the eyes of himself, had God not allowed the infirmity to come into his life. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, for I know nothing by myself, yet I am not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. In other words, he could have impressed everyone outwardly, but God knew what was going on in his heart. God knew what he needed and when he needed it in his life. So the presence of the trial reveals the purpose of the trial. That was the humbling work of God. Now, this is amazing when we think about humility. I want you to see, thirdly, the pathway of the trial. The way that God engineered or allowed this to happen. Notice what it says in verse 7 once again. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. And so God says the pathway, the way I'm bringing this trial is Satan is going to attack you and I'm going to allow that attack to take place. The word buffet means to blow with one's fist. And it seems like everywhere Paul went, he was being blown or hit or buffeted by the devil every step of the way. And no one who's going forward for the Lord goes forward without some buffeting or some trials in their life. But I want you to remember this morning that all of the fiery trials are Father filtered. In other words, Satan cannot bring something to pass unless the Lord deems that it is something that you can handle with his grace and something that is according to his will. Sometimes when trials have come into my life, I have had the thought at first like, Lord, why does this happen? Why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to a family member or to a friend? And sometimes in our American culture and thinking, we think that, you know, trials are for other people, not for us. Difficulties, not for us. And when it seems like the Lord says, look, here's something that you're going to have to carry for a while. Here's something that's going to be a difficulty in your life. Our attitude in a subtle, proud way is, why me? And the Lord has often convicted me, why not you? Why not you? You see, the Bible says in 1 Peter 4 and verse 12, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. In other words, the Bible says, hey, when your trial comes, don't think it's so strange. Don't act like, why me? This shouldn't be happening to me. It is common in the Christian life. You see, nothing enters your life accidentally. Nothing comes upon you accidentally. God in his sovereignty allowed Satan even to buffet against the Apostle Paul. And so God says, when the trial comes, if you'll allow me to do a work in your life, if you'll steward this properly, you're going to get something out of it. And the first thing he's going to give to the Apostle Paul is humility. He's going to humble his heart and prepare him for the greater days ahead through this trial. Notice secondly this morning what God wants to give you in the time of trial. And that is stability. Stability. Now join me in verse number 8. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now, if I may digress just for a moment to say that there are those who preach from pulpits that it's always God's will for everybody to be healed and to be healed instantly by faith. Paul was an apostle. He asked three times. His trial was not taken away from him. His eyes were not healed that we know of. God chose in this case, instead of removing the affliction, to give him strength and stability through the affliction. And so Jesus says in verse 9, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." And Paul then says, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon him." Now, my friend, this morning, God's ways are perfect, and God's will is better than my want. God's will is better than your want. And what we learn in the trials is to come to the place where Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane when he said, "Not my will, but thine be done." Now, how do we get stability? You know, when we have these trials and when we're facing these moments, it seems like we could fall over. We could cry a thousand tears. We're going to not have a place to live, we might think, or we're not going to make it through the trial. And you're saying, "Pastor, you're talking about stability. I feel very unstable right now in my life." Well, how can we find stability? First of all, we are going to be strengthened by the grace of God. We are going to be strengthened by the grace of God. "My grace is sufficient for thee." Now, the word grace, the Greek word charis, is a beautiful word. It's mentioned 155 times in our Bible. It is mentioned as that beautiful gift of God, that dynamic force that transforms a believer into a believer and then strengthens the believer throughout his life from the inside out. It is the encouraging, helpful work of the Holy Spirit of God. And God says, "I'm going to give you grace. And when you feel like you're going to fall over, I'm going to help you back up. And I'm going to make you stronger than you were before." The worst thing that could happen to us in our life is that we never had a trial or we never had a setback, because we would never know how desperately we really need God in the first place. The worst thing that could happen to us, and God gives us just enough difficulty to bring us back to him and to give us the grace to meet those difficulties. And God says, "Don't worry about tomorrow." He says, "Sufficient for the day is the evil thereof." And see, God says, "I'm gonna give you just enough trial and then give you just enough grace so that instead of being knocked completely over, when you stand up, you're gonna be stronger than ever. You're gonna be strengthened by the grace of God." And then secondly, you're gonna be purified by the grace of God. You're going to be purified by the grace of God. Now, the Bible says something very important in this text, and I want you to see it with me in verse number 9. "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." The word "perfect" speaks of maturity. It speaks of a filling and a purifying work of God. And Job would testify that he experienced this. In Job 23 and verse 10, it says, "But he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." And God deals with us in the same way that he dealt with Job, always for his benefit and for his honor. And he says, "Listen, I'm going to give you stability. You're going to be stronger because of my grace, and you're going to be more pure because of the trial that you've been through. You're going to be more mature in your life." 1 Peter 1:7 says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, all of us have that impurity in our life. And just like the gold needs to have the impurity burned away and the silver needs to have the dross burned away, God allows trials so that our sin and so that our pride will be burned away and so that we will be like a vessel ready for God to use. And so God says, "I don't bring the trial into your life to utterly destroy you. I don't bring the trial in your life so that you're an unstable creature all of your days, but I bring the trial into your life so that by my grace, you'll stand back again, but not in your strength this time, but in my strength." God says, "I'm going to bring the trial so that you'll have humility. And if you steward it right, you're going to have stability. And finally, if you steward this right, you're going to have ability from God. You're going to have ability to do the work that God has called you to do." Now look at verse 9 again. It says, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Did you see that part? Now, the word power there is that Greek word dunamis, which means the strength of God, the ability of God. And Paul said, I want that to rest upon me. I want his power to rest upon me. And I want to tell you something, my friend. You might say, well, I don't feel like God can use me. I've been through a divorce. I've been through a foreclosure. I've had past problems of sin. I just don't know that God can use me. Please understand something. God chooses defeated people to do dominant things for him. God says, when you are weak, then I can be strong through you. And God says, I want to take you at your defeated moment and at your tired moment and your hurting moment and teach you what I can only teach you then so that I can use you in a more powerful way in the future. I think about Jonah in that case and how Jonah was filled with pride. He wouldn't listen to God. He wouldn't do what God wanted him to do. And so God took him to Whale Belly University. And God said, Jonah, you got a lot to learn, boy. And God let Jonah just float around in the whale's belly. And guess what? Jonah got right with God. And he was a hard task, but finally he got right with God. And I just want you to understand, it was good for Jonah to spend time in the whale's belly. And God said, I'm going to take this difficult moment and let you experience this before you have the most dominant revival in world history. I want you to see that I have a plan in this. James Cash Penny was a man back in the 1920s, boy, the roaring 20s. He was making money hand over fist, and he was just involved in so many business deals and just excited about every bit of it. But in 1929, they weren't talking about recession or double dip recession or oil prices so much. They were dealing suddenly with the Great Depression. And suddenly, this highly successful man owed people money all over the country. James Cash Penny was so filled with stress and anxiety and difficulty, he admitted himself into a hospital. His body was racked with shingles. He didn't know what to do. He thought he'd get better, but he kept having paralysis in parts of his body. He kept feeling as though he would die. The shingles wouldn't go away. And after several weeks in the hospital, he just barely could get up in bed one night, enough strength to write his wife a farewell letter and to write his daughter a farewell letter. He was certain that he would die that night. James Cash Penny, a few hours later, saw the sun coming through the window and realized he'd made it through another night. And a few moments later, he heard from the chapel down the hallway, someone was singing in the hospital chapel a song that he had heard as a little boy in church. And the song said, "Be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. God will take care of you." And he heard those words, "God will take care of you." And he found himself getting some help to go down to the little chapel. He knelt there at a pew and he began to pray to God. And he said, "God, if you'll take care of me, then I'm going to cast my burdens on you, my health burdens, my concerns, my bills. Lord, I can't do it without you." James Cash Penny later said that God's Spirit dealt with him and comforted him and strengthened him. And a few days later, he was out of the hospital. And when he finally died at age 96, there were 1,966 J.C. Penney stores all over America. God had chosen a defeated Baptist man to do a dominant work for him, to support hundreds of missionaries and build many churches. But God had to work in his heart first.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Dr. Chappell has written a companion book to this series by the same title, Stewarding Life. You can find out more about this book when you visit strivingtogether.com. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. You can also receive this entire series of messages to help you in your spiritual journey when you make a donation to this ministry. Get yours right now by calling 800-688-6329. That's 800-688-6329. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, connect with us, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at allchappell.com. and thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.